Hello, everyone. This is Peter Granich on Tuesday, May 5th at 8:30 a.m. I always remind you this is not to be considered investment advice. You should always speak to a licensed financial advisor before making any investment decision and to read all my disclosures. With more than 7,000 new followers on my X page now and rising overall concerns, I am now more bearish on equities and bonds than any other point in my 42-year career. Here is a brief update explaining why. I maintain my macro position with an alternative financial planning group, but I do not make recommendations. Investment decisions are made jointly by our team and our clients. Now, if your interests are primarily for the next few hours, excuse me, days, weeks, or even a couple of months, I'm not your guy. If you're among us dinosaurs who still think long-term is counted in years, please stay and listen. I truly believe there are only two types in the financial service industry: those who say what they think, or those who say what they think you want to hear and it sells. There are countless members of the latter, and a far smaller group of the former that I am most definitely a member of. The downside to the former is there's no rock to hide under or double talk language to fall back on when you're wrong. There are three general points you need to get past, all three, if I can truly be of any use to you. The first is from actual history from very early in my career. As head of investment strategy for a New York Stock Exchange member firm way back in 1987, I made a forecast of a stock market crash and urged selling all equities. Once hearing it, the firm wanted me to retract it or resign. Their argument was that most clients of theirs will never sell everything, and when I'm wrong, which they believe I would be, their clients will never ever listen to what I had to say again, as I would be the laughingstock. They said if I was right, those clients would be in too bad of a shape for all that I'm saying is going to happen and won't be able to act when I tell them it's time to go back in. That leaves the very small percentage who would have listened, they said, and they felt at least half of those few won't go back when you say the coast is clear, because they'll be too scared then. They finished by saying what has stuck in my mind ever since then, and I believe is the case even today: you can't stay in business on Wall Street if only a small percentage of clients end up benefiting from your advice. I chose not to listen to them, and 6 weeks later, the October 87 crash occurred. Ironically, the very next day, I said the worst was over, and within 2 years, the stock market would be back to new all-time highs. I was correct, and so were they, since they were out of business within months as they remained bullish into the crash. This is why I coined it the "Don't Worry, Be Happy" crowd on Wall Street and much of the mainstream financial media that's tied to the hips. The second point is related to the first, because I truly believe if the Archangel Gabriel appeared to any of these market strategists, talking heads we see on financial networks and work for leading firms on Wall Street, if they came to him in the middle of the night, awoke them and told them that God himself had sent the Archangel to them to warn of a market crash, and even if they believed him and went to their office to tell what they occurred, their firm would not allow them to say such a thing publicly. That plays into my point number three. You can toss most of these strategists, talking heads, and advisors in general off the top of the Empire State Building, and all the way down, I believe they'll all say the same thing: hey, so far, so good. The bottom line: being bearish like I am only works if you sell guns, ammo, dry food, survival kits, cabins in the woods, and maybe precious metals. In the financial service industry, you'll be viewed as a pariah. So be it. Now, assuming you agree with me and aren't staying on just for curiosity's sake, here's another critical view of mine that if I'm to be worthwhile, you must be in agreement with. The vast majority of financial advisors and their clientele have never experienced a true long-lasting bear market, and instead have been weaned on a one-way street where you put the pedal to the metal at all times. The odd time there was a detour, the Fed tow truck came along, threw oodles of freshly printed money out in the road, and opened up the highway to go flying down the road yet again. Listen, you can't blame these folks, because all previous pullbacks were indeed buying opportunities. But what faces them now is unlike anything I've seen in my 42-year career. But what do I know? I'm just an old dinosaur. And two, passive investing, which is now over 50% of all the capital in the stock market, has led to an underlying supporting mechanism to hold the market up unlike anything else in modern times. It will be difficult to overcome, but I believe it will, and it's discussed in detail in my 10 most bearish factors blog post that I link below. Having said all this and understanding those 10 factors, all of which are only getting worse, with additional bearish ones becoming known, demands I take such a hard position, even though I can assure you it will cost me new potential clients dearly. I'm going to link key recent writings of mine that make up my growing bearish stance. I have a few beliefs that have hardened in cement and will not break no matter how unpopular they become. The first is this: less is more. You could get more if you have money. You could get more things, but they tend to cause more issues overall. Live within your means, if not below it. Costs, taxation, debt, and other factors are putting bigger bullseyes on the backs of us who still have something the government can tax and take, and they will try. Capital preservation must override capital appreciation. Doesn't mean you don't try to make money, but preserving what you have now overrides trying to make more with what you have. Not how much one makes, but one doesn't lose will separate the winners from the losers over the next few years. Now, for many, equities still need to be some part of their portfolio because of the need to keep ahead of inflation. I believe there's a product out there, RILERs and exchange-traded funds that mimic them, that are very suitable for the way I view things. You have upside if the stock market goes up, but you have limited downside if no downside risk if it goes down. Again, clients are aware of it. If there's anyone listening that they'd like to know more, please send me an email, but it's only available to U.S. residents. Now, bond market. As I noted earlier in my precious metals update, 5 years ago, telling people to get out of bonds and that they could actually lose money was unheard of and most didn't listen. However, that's been the case. Now, for 5 years in a row, bonds are net losses. I believe they'll continue to be due to the problems of private credit, which I've written about, and there's a link, and also the fact that we now have several trillion dollars of just triple B rated corporate bonds. That's one rating away from falling into junk. Any further weakness in the economy, most likely a recession and a fairly strong one to come, are gonna cause several of those bonds to fall into junk category. Very dangerous now, especially those that are still playing what's still called junk bonds or high yield. There's not enough spread in them compared to treasuries to be in them, in my opinion. The debt issue, yes, it's still number one. Think about this. We're going to hit $40 trillion. It took 26 years to go from $1 trillion to $10 trillion. It only took 12 years to go from $10 trillion to $20 trillion. And it's only taken 6 years to go from $20 trillion to $40 trillion. The debt crisis is no longer an if crisis, but when crisis. Political division. We are going to see it worse than ever before. I can't begin to imagine that if the Democrats take control of the House, that things can actually get any worse than they've already been, but they will. It is going to be an unbelievable time. Political division here and on the geopolitical front are net negatives for investing. The retirement crisis. Most people don't want to talk about this, certainly not on Wall Street, but the K economy is real, and I've written about that as well. Two-thirds of Americans are working paycheck to paycheck. Two-thirds of Americans don't even have the ability to have $1,000 saved for an emergency. Two-thirds of Americans are never going to live that dream of retiring. But unfortunately, their need to continue work at an older age will put a more strain on them and the government They will seek the government to help them. And of course, the government will turn on those who still have something to raise the funds to try to help them. Finally, the most politically incorrect of the 10 bearish factors is my belief of the Islamic takeover and the impact it will have economically, socially, and politically. I greatly encourage you to continue listening to me via my X page. It's the simple and best way for me to communicate. And finally, I remind those that are new to this, please note that my Catholic Christian faith is everything to me and that God and money is tied. And I believe that the Bible is the single best teaching factor when it comes to investing and is part of the foundation on how I conduct my business. Peace be with you.